Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show, around 2001 to 2011, on the WB and the CW. We are back with our Snyder Cut special number 3. I'm Zach Moore, and I'm joined by my friend on this road to the Snyder Cut, Mr. Tom Elliott from the Twilight Zone podcast. What's up, Tom?
Oh, not much, man. Not much. I'm just excited. It's nice to be back in the Zach cave to talk about this stuff. So, you know, I can't wait, Zach. I'm like a kid at Christmas waiting for this thing.
It's exciting. Now, since we recorded last, you know, shocking. I know we record these in advance. We're not recording these every day, the week of the Snyder Cut. We're doing them in advance. And between the last times we recorded, Tom, there has been a series of mini trailers for the Snyder Cut. And they've been pretty exciting. I mean, I gotta say, like, I am not one for, like, trailers of trailers, and kind of, I feel like sometimes these days we get overloaded. But I think all these have been very exciting and very well put together, and they've increased my hype level for the upcoming Snyder Cut. What about you?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I don't know whether we're getting ahead of ourselves, and I think we'll come back to this later on, but the thing is, Zach, you remember the time Superman came out, people were a bit like, eh. Batman versus Superman came out, people were all like, hmm. And then Justice League came out and everyone was like, huh? So the thing is, when everyone was campaigning for the Snyder Cut, I was like, why are you doing this? You know, why are you doing this? Nobody had a good thing to say about these movies at the time, you know. But I got to admit, man, call me a convert because I can't wait, you know.
Same. It's very fascinating to kind of look at where we were and where we are now, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about in this discussion. You know, we did, you know, the Snyder trilogy is, you know, Man of Steel, BVS, and now Justice League coming out, but you know, a lot of DCEU happened in between, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about in this discussion. Probably, you know, as we go through it, we'll spend a lot more time on Justice League that came out in 2017, the Justice League, as it has been rebranded appropriately. So, yeah. But, you know, you're absolutely right, because this whole phenomenon is fascinating to me, because there's a lot of great stuff in these movies, as we've been talking about, but for whatever reason, they didn't hit. They didn't hit, like, you know, you look at movies, Batman Begins, The Dark Knight, right? You look at those two, and it's like, oh, what? You know, everybody was kind of on the same page. That's great. Give us more Batman, right? And those two movies, you know, Man of Steel and BVS, did not hit in the same way. There's very controversial stuff, you know, whatever, right? But for whatever reason, you know, we are where we were with those. And then immediately after BVS came out, you get Suicide Squad.
Ooh, yeah.
And Suicide Squad is terrible. I don't like Suicide Squad at all. It is one of the worst superhero movies. Like, it is absolutely the last thing we needed or wanted after BVS, because that came out. This is when, you know, take yourself back to 2016. The DCU is ramping up. All right, here we go. We're going to get Batman versus Superman. We're going to get Suicide Squad that fall. So we're a matter of months, we're talking. Suicide Squad comes out. And hey, Ben Affleck's Batman is in it. So that's a plus, I guess. But other than that, that was such a miscalculation. And yeah, there's all this drama about, like, oh, well, there's a David Ayer cut out there in the studio. Again, DC being reactionary, who knows? Yeah. But it does seem very cut and paste and put together. The plot's kind of nonsensical. They have like 20 pop music songs they're trying to replicate, like Guardians of the Galaxy, I assume, is what they're trying to go for with that. So it just seemed like a mess. And then that 1-2 punch that year took all the air out of the DCU fandom, at least for me personally, and for a lot of fans and audiences. So what do you think about Suicide Squad, Tom? Tell me you loved it. Now we can argue about it. But
you know what? The thing is, like I said on the last shows, you know, I've come back to those first two movies and I appreciate them more now with a bit of time between them. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not comparing them so much to the Marvel Universe negatively. I'm letting them be their own thing. And I'm happy with them. You know, there's faults there, sure, but I'm happy with them. I'm not sure I could even sit down to Suicide Squad again. It was painful. It was really bad. I'm not sure, you know, I'm all for different cuts and things like that, but the air cut, no thank you, no thank you. I'll wait for James Gunn's version. That's what I'll do. But
okay.
Yeah, you're right. Reactionary is the key. That's what DC are just so much, or Warner's are so much, you know. Feige, and again, sorry to bring Marvel into it, but he laid out his plan. Sometimes something might not quite go to plan, Thor the Dark World or something, you know, and it doesn't quite hit. But, you know, so he tweaks things, but he stays on track. But DC just kind of react to whatever came last, and they are always seconds away from throwing out the whole thing if, you know, if something doesn't quite go to plan. But Suicide Squad was, I thought it was terrible as well.
Well, it's an interesting idea to do because you're trying to establish this new cinematic universe, and they're like, let's do a team-up movie with all the villains. You're like, okay, that's cool, I guess. But then I think a complete miscalculation of that movie was, let's make the villains heroes, where it's like, no, these are supposed to be bad guys.
Yeah.
You know, antagonists, protagonists, right? And that's what's interesting, but they're all like, they kind of make them heroes after, like, oh, Will Smith, he's just a dad trying to get back to his daughter. I'm like, I don't think Will Smith, I don't know if he has it in his contract anymore, but he like won't play bad guys anymore.
Oh, really?
Like, he's always playing a hero, and you know, and I love Will Smith. I mean, he's funny. I enjoy his presence in the film. He has the best lines and stuff, but that's because I like Will Smith. I don't necessarily like the character. Margot Robbie is perfect as Harley Quinn. Like, see, we talk about like miscastings, and then you talk about slam dunk castings. That's a slam dunk casting. Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest, Zach, I can't remember it that well. I watched that movie once and I've never went back to it. It's not often that just something rubs me up the wrong way. And you can see that I love this stuff, and I'll apologize for stuff to a certain degree if I just love it. You know, I don't care. But, you know, when they started playing Black Sabbath, Paranoid, at a point where it's like, why are you playing this? It doesn't fit here. It just feels so shoehorned in. You know, you wanted your Guardians of the Galaxy, but, man, such a miscalculation.
I would never have watched it again myself had I not done the commentaries for our Patreon. So I have all these films on Blu-ray. I feel a responsibility if I'm going to do a commentary for it on my Patreon. I'm going to own it on physical media, so that's what I do. I own it. I own the extended cut because it's not the air cut, but there's like some extended scenes in there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think we just said all the good things that we had. You had Will Smith himself. You had Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn. You had some Ben Affleck as Batman in there interacting, quote unquote, with the Joker. But let's talk about this because this ties directly into the Snyder cut. Jared Leto as the Joker, an unenviable task for Jared Leto to follow up Heath Ledger. And now he is in the unique position of being the Joker in between two actors who won Academy Awards for playing that character. I mean, what a concept. But, man, Jared Leto, when I heard he was going to be cast, I was like, okay, well, he's a great actor. Let's see what we can do. And, wow, they made some choices with this guy.
I mean, I sympathize because we all loved Heath Ledger pretty much. I've never heard a bad word said about him in that role. So I guess he had to try something different. I don't know, man. I don't know. He had to try something different. That's all I can really say about it. And he certainly did try something different. I'm kind of glad, though, that he might have a bit of a shot at redemption with the Snyder Cut. I don't know whether it's just like 2 seconds of scene like we've seen in the trailer or something, but it's got to be better than what we got in Suicide Squad. So I'm kind of glad he's got a little bit of a shot at redemption.
I agree. Like, as much as I'm not a fan of that version of the character, I'm like, let's see what we can do with him, right? Because you say do something different. You know what would have been different? Was to do a comic book accurate Joker. What a thought. I mean, like, what a thought. Jack Nicholson is still the most comic book accurate of the live action Jokers. Everyone's like, fall into a vat of acid, come out, you got the pale skin, you doing your gimmicks and your tricks. Like, and Heath Ledger's great. I'm just saying, like, that's a different turn, and that's great. So then return to that more traditional turn, add a Harley Quinn into it. Just, you know what? Just make the animated series Joker live action. That's all we need, because that's really the best Joker. Mark Hamill's Joker. It's the best Joker. And that's where Harley Quinn came from. Like, just lean into the source material.
Yeah.
And everything will work out fine. Because unlike Eisenberg, who is just the wrong actor for this, Jared Leto is a great actor and could be great as this. And that's why I'm like, let's revisit this. I mean, he looks different. He has the long hair. The tattoos are gone, thank God. And it just, you know, like we were talking about last time with just the out of syncness of the Lex of BVS versus the Batman and Superman, it's the same thing with the Joker. You have your Ben Affleck Batman, who is, you know, a more extreme version, as we say. Yeah. But more or less, like, that's your iconic Batman, who very recognizable. So you expect his Joker to be, like, an iconic, recognizable Joker, and then to have this left field crazy reinterpretation up against that one, they just do not mesh. They do not fit. And hopefully the Snyder Cut, they'll get the sequence together. And that's something that Zack Snyder said. He's like, I want to have these guys interact. I'm like, all right, let's see what you can do. So
yeah, definitely. I've got high. Well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, man. Talk too much about my hopes for it, but I do like that they've at least done this. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? You know it's getting a sequel? The Suicide Squad. It's getting the Suicide Squad. A whole different. There's like two, I think Margot Robbie and Jai Courtney, I think, is returning.
Right.
But I think everybody else is different. Obviously, James Gunn and not David Ayer. A whole different feel to the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But I do, I sit here and I look at the slate and I'm like, how did Suicide Squad get a sequel? But Man of Steel is still like, well, we don't know what to do with Superman. Like, I just shake my head at that, Tom.
You know what? I've never thought of it like that before. You're absolutely right. I think a big part of it is obviously James Gunn getting fired by Marvel.
Mm.
And this was a kind of a big middle finger to them. And I'm sure DC was sticking the middle finger up to them and James Gunn was sticking the middle finger up to them at the time. It's like, okay, you don't want me to do your movie? Well, I'm going to do their fake Guardians of the Galaxy movie instead, you know?
That's exactly what it is.
So I think everyone was just kind of happy to do that. But you're right, you know, how can we be having this when we haven't got like a Superman movie? But I am looking forward to it.
Well, you know, we say this, Suicide Squad was actually very financially successful for them.
Oh, wow.
And then of course, it's the whole, you know, the Hot Topic vibe of everything of it was like the marketing and the merchandising was very successful for them. And people, you know, people love Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn, which, you know, let the birds of prey down the line. So that alone, and then it's Will Smith. Will Smith is a box office draw. Yeah. He's one of those last great movie stars. I think of, like, you know, Tom Hanks, Meryl Streep, Tom Cruise, Will Smith, like, you know, maybe one or two more people, but like when those actors or actresses headline a movie, you know, and Margot Robbie is actually becoming that herself, you know, speaking of, but it's like when those actors or actresses headline a movie, people go see that, but that's a big draw. So there you go. So that's, I don't want to spend too much time on Suicide Squad because who would? But so then we're left with these three movies and we're like, what happens here? Like, we have about a year between, Suicide Squad was August 2016, and the Wonder Woman was June 2017.
Okay.
And all hopes were pinning on Wonder Woman at this point to save this universe, because people loved Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman in BVS. You talk about not hearing people say a bad word about Heath Ledger. I haven't heard people say a bad word about Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I mean, there would be some pre-criticisms, like, who is this? Why is she in this movie? Right.
Skinny.
But once you saw her, people have all these criticisms before you. Yeah. I mean, look at Christopher Reeve before he was Superman. All right. He was, he's a goofy looking soap opera actor, right? But once she was cast and people could see what she could do and they loved her in BVS, I certainly did. She was a highlight of that film and all eyes were to Wonder Woman. And I love Wonder Woman. I think that's one of the best films. It's in my top three for sure of the DCEU, and it's exactly what this universe franchise needed at that point in time.
So, okay. Sorry, man. My timeline is a bit messed up in my head. Did Wonder Woman come out before Justice League?
See, that's the confusion, right? It came out a few months before. It was the same year.
I got that flipped around in my head.
Well, no, yeah, and it's strange because they do Aquaman after, you know, and then Shazam, but he wasn't in Justice League. But the fact, it's like they started to kind of do both, and I think that part of that was, well, we introduced her already in BVS, so now we'll do the solo movie, and then we'll do Justice League. And, when Justice League came out, everything was kind of a big, it kind of blew up the whole thing, right? So, but... Uh-huh. That was November of that same year. So again, just a few months later, trying to copy Marvel again with, we're going to pump out these movies multiple ones a year. And like, no, man, just let these things burn. Because there was so, to your point there, Tom, there was so much goodwill when Wonder Woman came out. And it was immediately sucked out of the room when Justice League came out. But, you know, but that was the summer of Wonder Woman. People were all about it, and rightfully so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan. I think... You know, one of my favorite Marvel movies is the first Captain America movie. I love the World War II setting. I don't generally like war movies, but I like Captain America in that setting. You know, I think it's got a unique thing to it, especially because we then see him later on in the Marvel universe. So, you know, DC took a little bit of that flavor and put it in their Wonder Woman movie. And I haven't seen Wonder Woman 84. And I you know, you told me some of your thoughts about it. But I think it was kind of cool as well to see her through different ages before we get to Justice League and things like that. So, yeah, big fan of that Wonder Woman movie. I think I said last time, the last third, you know, the end battle, it sort of lets it down a bit, but it doesn't, you know, it's not a deal breaker. It's not a deal breaker. And your mate, Captain Kirk, is in it, and he's great as well.
He's fantastic in it, yeah.
Yeah, I would watch a World War II movie with just him doing his thing in it, because I thought he was great.
That's a good one. World War One.
Oh, yeah, World War One. Sorry.
And you know, the thing about DC being so reactionary, right? And I give them credit for being the first modern superhero movie to star a female superhero. I mean, I guess there's Elektra, but that wasn't even MCU. That was Fox. So the Daredevil sequel, if you want to look at it that way. But hey, way back in the day, DC and WB did Supergirl.
Yeah.
So give them credit there. But here's the thing, like Marvel. Right, it's hard not to compare, right? Because they're contemporaries here, right? The contemporary rival companies. Marvel's getting us a Black Widow movie, right? And I'm like, that's about 10 years too late, because that should have come out around the time of Iron Man 2, the first Avengers, when everybody's like, I want to see what happened in Budapest with Hawkeye and Black Widow, right?
Yeah.
Give us that. Then don't wait till spoilers for the MCU. That character's dead now, so now we're doing a prequel. And anyway. Good on WB for, like, Wonder Woman is one of the big three for DC Comics. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. They were the big three. They all came out in the late 30s, early 40s, and they've been around for 80 years. Mm-hmm. So good on them for that. But, you know, they were just messing around for so long trying to decide what to do that by the time they finally did a Wonder Woman movie, Marvel had made Captain America. So, like, oh, well, let's take Wonder Woman from World War II, which is when she was invented, and put her in World War I. And I've seen that as a trend in media these days. Like, I think World War II, and I love, like you, I love World War II, that time period. Both my grandpas were Marines and fought in World War II, so I'm very interested in that period of time, find it very interesting. And it seems like media has, like, mined all they can for storytelling from World War II, and now they've moved back to World War I. You had 1917 came out a couple years ago, and that was based on World War I. You see a lot more like that. So that actually, it did, them having to move it did make it a new angle to things, because I think, you know, we're all very familiar with all the beats of World War II by this point, right, Tom?
Yeah. I mean, I'll take your word for it, because I don't watch many war movies unless there's a superhero in it. So, you know, I'll take your word for it. But, you know, I thought it worked beautifully with Wonder Woman. I don't mind the kind of the similarities with Marvel, you know. I think they've done a really good job on it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a great movie. Like Wonder Woman, like the climax aside, I feel like, you know, we have all said our piece on that. Even Patty Jenkins has said, well, I didn't really want to do that per se, but that's what the studio wanted me to do. And you know, it doesn't ruin the movie by any means for anything. It's just like, it just we're so I mean, me personally, I won't speak for you, but over the whole, like, here's a big CGI battlefield at the end of the movie, like, again, right? So four in a row now with these movies, I was kind of over it by then.
I completely agree. I completely agree. I just, you know, it did all the personal stuff so well, you know, the relationships and things like that. I just didn't need a big CG thing at the end for it to fight. And, you know, it's unfortunate that they feel that they need to go that way. But now it's just become a bit of a kind of cliche, hasn't it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And hey, this isn't just DC. All right, I'm looking at you, Marvel. All your ends of your movies are all the same, too. Okay, so I'm going to compare.
Or a big beam shooting into the sky that they have to shut off, you know?
The blue beam to the sky. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, can we have enough of that, please, right? But you know what? You know, all this interconnective universe stuff that they seem to stumble over trying to do with DC, give Wonder Woman credit, because you could take out those connections and the movie works exactly the same. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Totally fine. Like, if there was no other Batman or anything, like, this is, you know, the setup is Bruce Wayne found the picture and sent it to, wrote her a letter. You could even have that and make, oh, that's cool. That's a reference to Batman. He found her a picture. Like, that doesn't even need to be connected. Like, you could sit down and show this to someone who didn't know anything about anything else.
Yeah.
And this would be a complete self-contained experience. And that's what works. And so that's another thing to its credit. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because the universe building of Batman versus Superman was so facepalm-inducing at the end. Like we talked about. Like, I'm going to click on every video. Like, they moved away from that. And so for all those reasons, it was just a delightful movie. Gal Gadot was just as iconic as anyone as playing their superhero. And, you know, the music was fantastic. I love the Wonder Woman theme.
It's great.
By Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, brilliant.
So it's so great. So much goodwill, I think, was won back, right, by Wonder Woman that summer. And then you're like, hey, Justice League's coming out, right? But, oh, man. So, you know, it's like, how much do you go into this? And everybody kind of knows. It was really inside baseball knowledge, so to speak, for, like, fans like us who kind of knew what was going on. But now it's mainstream now, because people are like, what is the Snyder Cut? And so there's so many, like, they've kind of pulled back the curtain to the general, I mean, I keep saying general audiences, you guys know what I mean. But meanwhile, while all this was going on, right, tragic situation, Zack Snyder's daughter committed suicide. So he steps away from Justice League. And then the studio brings in Joss Whedon to complete it, quote unquote. But somewhere along the way, they end up throwing out the majority of what Snyder did, reshooting and even recontextualizing stuff that he did do to create, you know, and the ultimate reactionary move, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the culmination of all the stuff we've been talking about. They're like, oh, people, they weren't too hot on Snyder's first two movies, and now there's a third one. But see, the thing was, Justice League was already well into production by the time BVS came out, so you really can't change lanes. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to just spend hundreds of millions of more dollars and reshoot so much. And ultimately, and I think the origins of why we are here today with the Snyder Cut, you can trace them back to this, right? Zack Snyder, he completed Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he delivered a rough cut, right? They just needed to do a couple of pickup shots, some special effects and post-production, and it was pretty much done, right? And I think, and that was the, for some reason, this became a fight on the internet, like for years, regardless of, like, if you want to see it or not, the fact is the dude shot the movie. Like, it's there, right? So, you know. So there were people saying, it doesn't exist. And I never understood why this was, like, a draw line in the sand argument. But, you know how the internet likes to be,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Fans.
Oh, yeah.
Fans, quote-unquote, sometimes, right? So this is sitting there, and then they redo Justice League with Joss Whedon, the guy who did the Avengers, right? So they're like, oh, we can be even more like Marvel if we get the... People love the Avengers, and Justice League is the DC Avengers, so let's do that. So we get that, and, you know, I'll be honest, when Justice League came out, I was like, well, I like that. That was all right, I guess. Coming out of the theater in the time, I'm like, well, I guess I enjoy that more than what we have been getting, because it corrected certain, like, in my mind at the time, it corrected, if you want to call it that, certain things I didn't like about the previous, you know, especially, you know, Superman, for example. Mm-hmm. But with time, Tom, and distance and perspective, it's like that movie is a mess, because not only is it not consistent with what came before, but it's not even consistent within itself, like scene to scene, shot to shot. So, like, what an epic fumble, right? Because, again, the Justice League, like, people know those characters and have known them for decades. The Avengers, no one knew who any of those people were like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But we've somehow, the Justice League has given up its crown as like the, you know, the superhero team of the world. So anyway, those are my thoughts in an extremely small nutshell about Justice League. So what are your thoughts, man? Coming out of the theater back in the day.
I mean, let's leave aside anything with Joss Whedon that's going on mm-hmm. in the press at the moment, and purely as a creator and what we knew of him at the time. You know, I was a big Buffy fan back in the day. I liked Angel. You know, I watched Firefly. I loved Avengers. So if anyone's going to take it over, sure, okay. What a great choice for it to be Joss Whedon. The thing is, I don't think at the time we really knew how complete Snyder's vision was. You know, there's such conflicted stuff coming out, you know. So if you think, okay, well, yeah, if it's only half done, sure, just get Joss Whedon to go in and film the rest of it. That's fine. And I don't think I really realized, I'm not talking about anyone else, I don't think I really realized at the time how compromised it had become. But I don't really have faith in whoever's pulling the strings at DC to make good decisions. I think they are awful. They are terrible. You know?
They push all the wrong buttons, yeah. Tom. It doesn't matter. It's like, it doesn't even matter who the people are. It's just, if you happen to be the decision makers at DC, you sit in that chair, you start pushing the wrong buttons.
Yeah,
right?
They do it all the time, all the time. And the thing is, part of me gets it because I think fans are their own worst enemies sometimes. That, you know, everyone at the time was like, oh, you know, the DC movies are too serious. They're so serious because we had Marvel being, you know, a bit more lighthearted. They were serious sometimes. But I thought, you know what? It's a take. They're doing something a little bit different. I don't want them to be doing what Marvel are doing. But then, good old reactionary DC, you know, you put Man of Steel up against Justice League and it's like apples and oranges, you know what I mean? So I remember watching it the first time and I was just totally deflated by it. And again, I think we're going to be reversed on this a bit, Zach.
Okay.
I was just totally deflated by it. Kind of like Batman versus Superman, where you can take individual scenes from it and say that was pretty great, you know, that was pretty cool. But you know, the minute you see Henry Cavill come on screen with his CG upper lip and think, hold on, did anyone actually quality check this? You know, how did this happen?
It's the first shot of the film.
It's the first shot of the film. It was just like, I remember sitting there in disbelief, like, how did this even get through, you know? And that's a topic in itself, Henry Cavill's mustache.
Mission Impossible Fallout, great movie.
Oh, yeah, he was great in that as well. Yeah, but I was really deflated by it at that time. I mean, I suppose we'll get into it a bit more, I guess, and see whether that's still the case or not. But,
Right, we can. Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and I love Ben Affleck as Batman. I'm like, yeah, he's back. But then I'm like, he looks different, and he's acting different, and he's saying dumb things. And you can just see the boardroom meeting decisions made. We're going to get some jokes in here, and we got to make Superman happy, and we got to have, you know, this and that. And then you know what a great crime to me was? The music. Like, and I love the John Williams Superman theme and the Danny Elfman Batman theme. And I was like, oh, those are going to be in here. That's interesting. I mean, it's not the themes for these versions of the characters, but okay. So the way they use it is like they play Batman's theme a couple times, the Danny Elfman one. It's just kind of mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, if you're going to do it, the Danny Elfman's the guy they brought in to do the score. I'm like, why don't you pop up your own theme, man? And then the Superman theme, like, They do like an inverted version of it when he's evil fighting the Justice League and stuff. And then like when he shows up at the end to fight Steppenwolf and they try to do their general, would you care to step outside moment? And it felt so flat for me because he's like, you know, first of all, you see his horrible CGI face. He's like, I believe in justice, and I'm a big believer in truth, too. And then you hear, dot-dot. Mm. It's like, oh, was that supposed to be the the John Williams fanfare? You guys just kind of half-assed it there. I don't understand what they were trying for. On the positive note, right, I loved Superman beating up the Justice League. That's my favorite scene in the movie. Of course, most of that is a Zack Snyder sequence. Like, I love, because I feel so like Superman, he's so disrespected. You know, yeah. Like people are, yeah, he's lame, he's old fashioned. No, he's the most powerful superhero of them all. And I love how, like, he just wipes the floor with all of them. Mm-hmm. Right. Even Wonder Woman thinks she's got a leg up on him, and then he flies. And guess what? Wonder Woman 1984, Wonder Woman can't fly. And that's why he's able to headbutt her into the ground. So that was a great sequence, mostly directed by Zack Snyder. For some reason, they switched it from like nighttime to day, or I don't know why. Again, needless change. They poured millions of dollars into this, tens of hundreds of millions of dollars, when they didn't need to change stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, the whole like Batman, oh, I'm bleeding. I'm like, why? No, Batman doesn't make jokes like that. Please. It was tough, man. My DCEU compass is all out of calibration all the time. But like at the time, I was like, well, I guess they made Superman like the Superman I like, so that's cool. And you know what? I liked actually all the other characters. Like, I liked Flash. I didn't think I was gonna like Flash at all, because at the time I was a big fan of the Flash show on CW with Grant Gustin. I'm like, he's my Flash, right? I'm like, oh, Ezra Miller was actually pretty enjoyable as the Flash. Ray Fisher as Cyborg, I thought was great. I had no preconceptions about either of them, characters or actors, as far as this universe was concerned. That was great. Jason Momoa as Aquaman. I was like, all right, this is a different take on Aquaman, but he is the kind of character where you can do a different take, and no one's going to be like, that's not the iconic Aquaman.
So kind of needs
the
a
roster
different
of
take.
Characters. You needed a different take, right? You made him not a joke, right? But the roster of characters and actors,
yeah,
I really liked. And then leaving the theater, I was like, yeah, I would like to see these characters and actors again in another movie. So that's why I left more hopeful than I had, like, BVS or like, oh, well, we got to bring him back to life. And now it's like, you know, it just felt like, why did you do this then? It's a reaction, right? It's the complete end of this, like, BVS was over here, and they're like, oh, you didn't like that as much? Let's do something completely different. When that's not, you don't need to just swing the pendulum all the way to the other side. Yeah. You just need to recalibrate a few things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'll just touch on the music briefly, because you mentioned it. I'd forgotten all about it until I watched it yesterday. And the thing is, when they used to do it on Smallville, you know, these little nods here and there, I used to really dig it. I just feel like, okay, that's done now. You know, I love the nods in Smallville. I like that Superman Returns, flawed as it exists. And, you know, it uses Marlon Brando and crystals and all that stuff. But it's done. You know, the whole point of Man of Steel was, we're doing a new thing now. So, you know, that's how I feel about that. And I also think the bad decisions of Batman versus Superman are just kind of compounded here, because I'm conflicted about this, because on the one hand, the quest to bring Superman back to life is the quest to bring hope back to this universe. And, you know, we get the Superman we want by the end of it. And hopefully now it will turn this whole grim DC universe on its head. And that's the arc that I wanted. I wanted Superman to be triumphant in the end, and for everyone, you know, and to turn it into a world of hope where we can enjoy our heroes again. But that doesn't stop the problem that they should never have killed him so soon in the first place, because no one really cared about him yet.
They're like, he was a beacon of hope we need. I'm like, who?
Yeah, everyone
like,
hated
who,
him.
Like, you guys were protesting him at the last movie, right? You wanted to kill him for all these things. Yeah, so it doesn't. If that's the thing, right? This movie, if you don't, if you haven't seen the other movies, it works better. Because you're like, oh, yeah, Christopher Reeve's Superman was awesome. I guess that's why who they want to bring. Like that's the public idea. Like, yeah. If you don't know how these characters interact in the last films, you can buy that more. But no, this is not the universe you set up. And so that's a change I'm interested to see, because this movie was completely chopped to pieces and rearranged. Right? I mean, in the theatrical Justice League, Batman, he's doing his Batman thing. and he's clean shaven. And then he goes, he's like, fire up the jet. We're going to go look for Aquaman. And then he has a full beard, like 2 days later, you know? Like, so even that, those little simple, like, that's something like if you were sitting down, to, like you said, quality control, someone mm-hmm. would have said, hey, that doesn't make any sense, right? But they didn't, they were so far beyond that. I seem like they just had their deadline, like, we got to get this out this year. We're going to keep under 2 hours to crank this out. But I'm like, look, y'all, I know that, look, bottom line, and this is why I support the Snyder Cut, one, because he basically had the movie taken away from him and completely torn to shreds, mm-hmm. and it was completed. So that's a whole, you know, so to me, Snyder is the one faulted here by the studio. So this is a correction of that, right?
Yeah.
But two, I just, like, I don't understand why they didn't stay the course, right? But that's where I come down on it. Like, you guys, I know that you wish you would have maybe done something, like, talking about the studio, right? Oh, well, maybe, oh man, maybe we should have done this and we should have done that. But you know what? You filmed this movie. It's done. Why are you going to pour, I mean, seriously, $200 more million into it to make even less money? Because people aren't, if it's not good, people aren't going to want to go see it again. So it doesn't matter how short it is or uh-huh. how many jokes are in it or what. But Superman's happy now. I'm like, what? That's not going to make you more money. So I just, even from a business perspective, Tom, I just don't understand why they completely redid this movie to a certain extent. So
I think that is them all over. You know, Warner struck DC all over. But the problem is they got stuck in this situation where Wonder Woman was a big hit, and then they did Aquaman, and that was a big hit. So they couldn't kind of throw everything out again and start over, which is mm-hmm. usually what they will do, you know, because they are so reactionary. And if something doesn't hit right, let's, like you said, swing the pendulum. Either swing the pendulum so far the other way that it's unrecognizable, or get rid of everything and start over again. And to be fair, it's not just them. You know, Sony did it with Spider-Man after Spider-Man 3. You know, they completely changed it up again. I remember mm-hmm. the days when if a James Bond movie came out and it wasn't so great, you just go, okay, well, let's wait for the next one, you know?
Exactly.
And exactly. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? You know, and I guess it's because movies cost so much now that they're so scared of getting a bomb that they are just so reactionary and stuff like that. But I hate to make the comparison again, not Marvel. You know, they stuck the course. If they got a Thor the Dark World, then they just made the next one better. You know, that's mm-hmm. all it needs to do. You don't need to change up the whole thing. It makes me a little bit annoyed, Zach, I've got to say.
Yeah.
Because I was so happy, you know, because I'm a DC kid more than a Marvel kid, you know, and I wanted all this.
Same.
Justice League so much, you know.
Right. And, you know, and we can wrap back around to, you know, our hopes for the Snyder Cut in a minute. But you mentioned Aquaman, right? That was the next movie that came out. Had some space between, right? They came out, you know, Christmas 2018. So that's over a full year later.
Yeah.
That made $1 billion. That was the first one of these to make $1 billion in the DCEU. I think it was because you had The Dark Knight Rises and Aquaman are the three DC movies to that point to make $1 billion. And then, of course, Joker made $1 billion a year later. But that's not even connected to this, but that's its own conversation. But, I mean, Aquaman, I love Aquaman. That's probably my favorite movie of the DCEU. And part of me, same thing with Wonder Woman, I'm like, well, I don't have these preconceived notions of like, well, yeah. Michael Keaton and Christopher Reeve are my Batman and Superman. So, you know, you guys aren't them. So you gotta win me over. But these guys, I'm like, you guys do whatever you want, and I think it was fantastic. They leaned into the over-the-topness of this character and his world, and people responded well to that. So I know I did.
It's something we'd never really seen before as well, wasn't it? You know, again, they kind of got the jump on the competition, you know, because if they bring out a Namor the Submariner movie, they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to do something different now. But it was beautiful. The design of it was beautiful. You know, it was like, you know, sometimes when he went underwater, it was like a prog rock album cover from the 70s or something. Just these beautiful designs and great cast. I watched it the other day. William Dafoe is in it. And, you know, I love Aquaman. And I think you're right. You know, take away baggage, because I never read an Aquaman comic book in my life. The only time I read them was in Justice League, you know. And that was in the, you know, the Grant Morrison run mainly. So he was a bit more like the Jason Momoa one. He had the long hair.
Yeah,
and the
beard. I'm a barbarian underwater guy. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So, you know, that's pretty much all I knew of Aquaman. But Jason Momoa won me over. Just a beautiful design. And it's the kind of stuff that some people might be like, oh, it's a bit too hokey for the screen. But no, not these guys. They did it and it was beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, if you told me, I knew going into it, I was like, you're going to do, because I had read some Aquaman comics from the New 52 mm-hmm. that had come out, so that was my familiarity with it, because like you, I'd never read Aquaman comic in my life other than that, because I bought into those when they came out. I was at San Diego Comic Con when they launched the New 52, I'm like, well, I got to get these now, right? So they got me. But you have Ocean Master, which is like, you know, his half-brother arch nemesis. You have Black Manta, who is his other, you know, well-known villain, and then you have the Trench, who was a newer kind of like primal force, you know. And I'm like, you're throwing all this in one movie? That's a met, like that's Spider-Man 3 all over again, right? With too many villains. But they balanced it out perfectly, and they told an emotional story, you know. And I think, and that's something that's missing from the movies that I don't connect to as much, is like you have this emotional story with like Aquaman and his dad and his mom, and then she's alive, and then the whole he's going to the end of the dock, and I'm like, oh man, and it's such a man, what a great feeling at the end of one of these movies to have like his parents reunite, and then you're like, oh man, that's nice. So, and again, other than like two lines of dialogue, right, between Aquaman and Mera, it has no connection to anything else. You could watch this by itself, mm-hmm. and that is so lost today in this scramble. And then again, we don't want to harp on WB too much, because a lot of studios do it. But this scramble to build these cinematic universes, they just, everything's a reference and a quote and setting up something you're never going to see because this movie's going to bomb because it's not good. Mm-hmm. So this was, again, stand on its own and just a real feel-good movie with so many elements to it.
Yeah.
Just a really enjoyable ride. And I think, like, that's this middle ground, Tom. Like you said, that they're like, well, crap, now what do we do? Because
yeah, we can't get
like
rid of
Wonder Woman and Aquaman. But Ben Affleck got turned off the whole thing and left, right? We lost our Batman. Superman's a big question mark. Had they just made a Superman movie, I'm sure Henry Cavill would have done it, but now it's a big question mark for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Flash movie, which is always in limbo. Apparently they're filming it now. We'll see if that ever comes to be. I'm excited for more Ben Affleck Batman and Michael Keaton Batman in that Flash. That's why I'm going to see that movie.
Yeah.
So had these been bombs, right? They could have done a hard reboot or whatever, but now they're like, well, this kind of worked and people like that, and so they're stuck in this weird.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, if Aquaman had not been already filming before Justice League, it would never been made.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, what I'll say is, and I hate to keep bringing this up, but could you imagine if they'd made that Aquaman movie before Justice League? You know, the 1-2 punch of Wonder Woman and Aquaman, everyone would have been like, okay, now we're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see this Justice League movie. If they hadn't sort of screwed with Justice League. But what I will say about Justice League is, I kind of liked it for the same reasons that I liked Batman versus Superman, because I liked these guys. And it was just nice to see the guys together again, even in this mm-hmm. kind of messed up way, you know?
That's true. I mean, when else are you going to see our favorite superheroes together? Right? Yeah. So you take, we're the guys that like Superman 3, right? So what are you going to do? It's the same kind of logic.
Yeah.
So, I guess it's just the fact that there was something. I mean, people say, well, you have to see it to tell if it's better or not. Look, I can sight unseen, I will guarantee you that Zack Snyder's Justice League is better than theatrical cut. I will bet my bottom dollar on it. So, there are, like I said, I came out of the theater and I enjoyed parts of Justice League,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm like, oh, that was great and this, that. Like, I like how Batman was being an asshole, as Cyborg tells him, right? Because that's how he is. Batman's, you know, he's kind of a jerk and he's like telling these people off. Like when he's telling Diana, Steve Trevor tell you that? I'm like, oh, low blow, Batman. Mm-hmm. But that's in character, right? Stuff like, there were little moments, right? Seeing Jeremy Irons as Alfred and Amy Adams as Lois Lane again, right?
And just
might be the last time we see him.
Seeing Batman moving around, you know. I'm sorry, I know we're going back to Justice League because we got to Aquaman, but just seeing him. I mean, that scene in Gotham is a little bit goofy at the beginning, but I kind of just still liked Batman being in an alleyway, you know, and and those kind of things. And then we see him with Commissioner Gordon. And
oh, Gordon! Yeah. I was like, why is he in this? Why are they casting J. Jonah Jameson as Commissioner Gordon? But now I'm like, man, I really wish we would have gotten, I mean, for many reasons, I wish we'd gotten a Batfleck movie, because then J.K. Simmons, that guy, he's off the page Jim Gordon. Just like Gary Oldman was like off the page year one Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons is off the page like later primetime years.
That's it.
Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
So,
perfect. Perfect. So, I mean, you know, I've got no investment in The Flash, so I didn't really care if he was, you know, dead on or not, and I liked him well enough. Mm. I didn't really care for Cyborg. I've got to say that, because I'm a bit of a purist in that I like my Justice League with Green Lantern in it. And I know that would have just been one more character to introduce, and we couldn't use Ryan Reynolds because, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I would have went with the John Stewart Green Lantern, you know. Ray Fisher could have played him as well. You know, it wasn't his performance that I had a problem with. I like him, but I don't really care for Cyborg, you know?
Yeah, I see your point. Like when, you know, Cyborg was on the Justice League on Smallville, and at the time you're like, well, he's a Teen Titan, but this is a TV show and we can't use certain characters, but it's the 21st century. And when technology, it makes sense to have a character like that on the team.
Mm.
It's just interesting that along the way, now Smallville did it first, hashtag. He's on the Justice League now. Like, he was in the New 52. He was on the team because he replaced Martian Manhunter on that team, who apparently has been in these movies all along, Tom. We didn't know. But General Swanwick, Martian Manhunter, I'm very interested to see how they pull that off. That's a retcon, but I'll allow it. Because the actor, Harry Lennox, was like, I didn't know anything about this until Zach called me a few months ago. So there you go, right? Actor himself. But I see your point about the lineup. But yeah. I guess, you know, another thought was doing Justice League first before Aquaman, and presumably, you know, the plan was to do a Cyborg movie and a Flash movie. Like, well, who will go see these movies unless they care about them? So we have to introduce you to them with Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman, and then you'll like them, and then go see them when, you know, the way it played out, it was actually the reverse.
Definitely, you know? Definitely.
So it's... They overthink it, Tom. Just make the movies,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and just make it
movies.
Good. Make it good, and people will come to them, you know?
Yeah.
Usually.
But that is kind of like the Snyder phase of the DCEU, because, you know, Aquaman, he cast Jason Momoa as Aquaman, you know, for BVS, for that scene where he comes out of the submarine. And I always think it's like a Disney ride, like a guy kind of like an animatronic guy comes out with a trident, pokes it at you. It's just very, all those videos are so weird to me. But that was all these movies are set into motion. This is the Snyderverse, if you will, right? Because he was the architect. He was the Kevin Feige, I guess, because he was setting the creative tone, but he was a director for individual films. He wasn't an overseeing overall producer.
Yeah.
And that's, they need someone in that role, you know?
Definitely. You're so right. You're so right. That is what they've been missing all along, you know? They need their Kevin Feige. I don't know who that is, but they really need one.
Mm-hmm. So then, you know, there are three other DCEU movies. They're not connected to the Snyderverse per se. Very different looks and feels to them. Shazam, which is, you know, I'll always call him Captain Marvel, but there's a whole story about why those names changed. I really loved Shazam. Shazam is probably my top three of the DCU. Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Shazam. And I go back and forth on which one of those is my favorite, but those are my favorite three. And it was a totally different feel, but it still existed on the fringes of BVS because they had the Superman costume, they had the Batarang, they had the images of the other heroes. And I'm like, okay, this is a smart way to continue this without continuing it. And I just, again, a family story. It was like if they made like a Spielberg 80s superhero movie. That's what it felt like. And that's what they were going for. And I thought they nailed what their approach was. And I really enjoyed Shazam.
It's funny. It's... you know, it's the movie you don't know you actually want. You know what I mean? Because who really cared about this? And I'm sure there's some Shazam fans out there who are like, we wanted it, you know, but I never wanted it. Even when I was a big DC guy, I never read that book. It always just looked a bit too goofy.
I mean,
to
he
me.
Was a Superman knockoff. Like, literally, DC absorbed that comic company because they sued them for ripping off Superman. And that's why this character exists, right?
But it kind of proves the point as well that no one wanted this movie, no one asked for it, but they just made a good movie and people came to it and enjoyed it. And if they'd have just done that in the first place, you know, with all these characters and built to it as, I'm sorry to keep harping on about that, Zach, but if they'd just done that in the first place and built up to their Justice League would have been as big as the Avengers was. But yeah, what a fun movie, you know, just to go in with no expectations and be kind of charmed by something. It was such a good time. I think maybe the ending, I feel like, okay, well, you've built up this super team now. Wait, maybe you brought a bit too much into it too soon. Mm. Again, always DC's problem. Now there's this Shazam family. Can you really step back to it just being the Shazam movie now? I don't know. Are they making a sequel to this? I guess so.
They are. Shazam Fury of the Gods is okay. The sequel. It's coming out soon. I mean, you know, everything's been a little delayed, obviously. Yeah. But that's on the schedule. That's happening eventually. He's going to cross over with Black Adam, The Rock. The Rock has been cast as Black Adam for about 10 years now. And I think... And they're making that movie as well. And, you know, to tie into, to kind of spin off of Shazam, like, I'm really looking forward to that because I love The Rock. I think he's one of those other big name movie stars I was talking about earlier. Like, yeah, you know, that guy's story is just so incredible. I really respect what he's done with his career and his life, right? And he's really passionate about Black Adam. And I'm like, all right, let's see that. They're making that movie. And then eventually that'll come. It's, well, how can we get two Shazam movies, Tom, and a Black Adam movie, and then Shazam versus Black Adam? But we can't get Superman and Batman movies before they smash them together. Like, that just...
I know. It doesn't make any sense at all. But you know what, Zach? Here's my hope. Because you made a good point that the thing about Shazam is it's sort of on the side, you know? And if they'd have just stuck their course with the Justice League roster and their own solo movies come together for the Justice League... Shazam would have been a great thing on the side, and he could have popped in maybe every now and again into things, you know, but been his own thing. My hope is, okay, Black Adam's going to come out. Sure, he could fight. Is it Zachary Levi who plays Shazam?
Yeah.
Sure, he could fight him, but who really cares about that? I want him to fight Superman. You know, that's what I want. So I'm hoping... That's, you know, in some roundabout way, that's going to happen because I love The Rock as well. I think he's great. If he's a superhero, there's only one superhero I want him to fight, and that's Superman.
And they've been teasing that, too. Him and Henry Cavill, I believe they have the same agent. So they're always kind of, they've taken pictures together. I think there was one time, like, they had, like, Thanksgiving together, and they're, like, sharing a drink in the backyard. And this is years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, great. Man of Steel 2 will be... Shazam versus, you know, Black Adam and Superman. That'll be because there's an animated movie of kind of as a short animated movie is the same kind of idea where it's like Black Adam shows up and he's too much for Shazam, but Superman fights him and it's kind of his mentor. I'm like, there you go. There's your template for a movie. Please make that.
Yeah.
I think that's a great way to reintroduce Superman and everything. And 100%. Like, I will go see that movie at midnight. Right. The people don't go see movies at midnight anymore, Tom. They go to these 7 p.m. Thursday showings. You know, back when we were fans in college, staying up all night, going to the midnight screening. But yeah, absolutely. And you know, a couple more movies in DCU. There's Birds of Prey, which you haven't seen, right? You haven't seen Birds of Prey or Wonder Woman 84, have you?
No, I mean, I haven't seen Birds of Prey. I can't say I've heard it's a fun movie. I can't say it's a movie I'm particularly bothered about. But I'll get to it. I'll get to it. You know, I'm happy if people have enjoyed it that they got their movie. You know, that's cool.
See, if you lived in America, you could HBO Max and you could watch all these. but Birds of Prey, you know, it wasn't, you know, we did a whole podcast about it and stuff. Like, it wasn't really for me, but I know a lot of people responded very well to it. And it's a whole different flavor of film, right? And a whole different visual language and everything going on there. But it takes what worked. Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad, put her in another movie. And, you know, it's its own little fun adventure. And that's the key. It's like very much Shazam that same way. That's the key. Like, do all these things that exist on the periphery, and then maybe eventually... Get your act together and reassemble the Justice League. Ben Affleck's got his life together now, it seems. He's came back for reshoots. Get him back. That they just reactionary, Tom, right? Ben Affleck, like, he had to step. I mean, he had a real rough. Like, he went to rehab. His family was falling apart. So he took a step away from stuff for a while, and now he's back. And same things seem to be working out for him now again. So, you know, good on him. Happy to see that. So now he's in a good place about it. He came back for the reshoots. But what did you do? WB, you react and reactionary again. You're like, oh, we got to do a Batman movie, Robert Pattinson. Uh-huh. No, I don't want that. Nobody wants that. I know people are really excited for the trailer for the Batman. I'm like, whatever. You're not Ben Affleck. I don't care about you. So we'll see. Because the difference between movies like that is it's clearly not part of this universe. Shazam, Birds of Prey are. That expands the mythology around the DCEU, and then it kind of, you know, enriches everything, and now you have this whole universe. What they were trying so hard to do way too soon, if you're just patient. Like you've been saying, he's going to make the movies and then make the crossovers. So I don't know, man.
And the thing is, now there's this talk of the new Superman movie with, is it Michael B. Jordan, potentially? I know they've got a writer on it, but I just want Henry Cavill back. You know what I mean? So if Henry Cavill has his tenure as Superman, and then there's, you know, people get all bent out of shape. You can't have a black Superman. Of course you can have a black Superman. I just want Henry Cavill to get a few more movies under his belt before we start changing things up, you know? That's my thing. But they seem to be sort of sticking to this path of, you know, well, okay. I mean, it's all rumored at this point, but I know they brought a writer on board, didn't they? So, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, just make some of these other movies in the meantime before you can kind of reestablish. Like, there's a lot of stuff that worked with these other versions.
Yeah.
Just because the man is still didn't make $1 billion. That's why we're here. Right? They were like, oh, but I don't understand. The Dark Knight made $1 billion. Yeah, but Batman Begins didn't. Okay. Yeah. You're comparing yourself to the wrong things. So there you go. And then you had Wonder Woman 84, which, you know, I've talked in detail on very disappointing. But we'll move on from that. I'm glad we can move on from Wonder Woman 84 quickly to Zack Snyder's Justice League, because that's going to be the movie I need. So I mean, 4 hours, Tom. People like us are going to sit down and watch it for 4 hours straight. I'm very curious to see what the general audience viewing habits are going to be, because they actually released some like chapter markers, you know, like, well, you can watch it here and here and here if you want to break it up. I'm like, no, I'm going to watch it all the way through, but
keep them. Fine, I don't need them.
but this just shows, I mean, think about this, like, they came back for, I think they did two scenes of reshoots, I believe, right, for when they gave Zack Snyder Justice League the green light, HBO Max, Snyder came in, did about two scenes of reshoots, is my understanding, which maybe took them like a week or something. I'm not sure the exact timeline or amount, but, I mean, this just shows you how much they changed Justice League, because we got a 2-hour theatrical movie, right? So and about half of that was Joss Whedon's reshoots. So we have seen, I mean, this is just rough estimates, we've only seen about a fourth of this movie we're about to see this week, tomorrow, as of the release of this podcast. What a world we live in, right? Yeah. And that's insane. Like, I know we've seen bits and pieces from trailers and all that, but there's just going to be so much there. And I know a lot of people say, well, it looks the same to me. I'm like, are we watching the same trailers? Like, I
when you put it like that, I don't even think I've thought about it like that. But you know what? I am so ready for this, Zach. And again, it's something that I never really, like I said earlier on, I was the guy who was like, you all hated Snyder at the time. Everyone was moaning about this stuff. What makes you think this is going to be any better? I'll happily say I'm eating my words at the moment. I've drank the Kool-Aid. I am.
Yes.
100%. Have a sip. I'm 100% Snyder cut. For the only reason that, you know, now I sit and watch the current cut of Justice League and I'm just kind of happy with it because it's got my guys in it, even though it's not a great movie. I don't think this is going to change anyone's life. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think it's going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. I just know it will be better, and it'll be a better movie with my guys in it. So at the very least, I can take, you know, Man of Steel, Batman versus Superman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Zack Snyder's Justice League, and I've got probably the best I'm going to get, you know? So that's my hope, at least, you know?
Yeah, I am pretty much the same mindset as you. Like, I know I'm going to enjoy it more than the theatrical, right? As a finished product, I will respect it more. You know, and also, I'm just glad that Zack Snyder is going to get to finish his vision for this, right? Yeah. For this, I mean, literally the movie, yes, he stepped away, but the studio did some shady stuff. And, you know, we're not going to go down those rabbit holes right now, but like, it's all over the internet now. Just go look it up and come to your own conclusions. But like, this guy made this movie and the studio like took advantage of a situation to kind of redo it for a terrible business decision. Like we talked about, let's pour hundreds of millions more dollars into this. I'm like, whatever, right? But now we're going to get to see what his intentions were. And that's ultimately what it is. And then if people don't like it, fair enough. If people love it, great, right? But stay the course, let the work speak for itself, right? And we'll see, right? Now, I will say this. I have said for months now, I'm like, I bet this is going to end with a to be continued at the end. The ultimate troll job. I would love it. And then maybe it would lead to something else in some form in the future. Who knows what form that would take. But you know he has story ideas for more stuff with more of these characters. And I don't know, man. I know it'd be expensive, but if people respond to this, I mean, the hype is real right now. And if this movie delivers on the hype, unlike the other films, and I'm talking about pretty much all the films we talked about, other than like Wonder Woman or Aquaman, right? Those delivered on the hype, but the rest, not so much. Then let's go. You know, I mean, why not? There's room enough in this world for more of this stuff, right?
That's the best case scenario. And that's what I'm hoping to. I daren't dream, Zach, because I daren't dream because they will be dashed. But, you know, wanna be in the reactionaries that they are. If this explodes and they're like, okay, all right, well, you know, let's see what we can do here. You know, I daren't dream, Zach, but that is my hope, that it lights a fire under them and thinks, you know what, we screwed up. Restore the Snyderverse. Hashtag restore the Snyderverse.
There it is.
And I'm not sure I need Snyder to make another million superhero movies, but if he, you know, he had another movie in mind, didn't he? I would be happy if he did it. And then, you know, let's hand Superman off to someone else and see what they can do with him. Let's hand Batman off to someone else and, you know, do it like that. It would be nice if this kind of just got the Trinity back, you know, and the Justice League back and something came of it, but I dare not dream it.
I mean, best case for me, like if there was nothing else, I would want to see more Affleck Batman, like an HBO Max miniseries. If this salvages Jared Leto's Joker, we can have more of him in there. Let's see him in Deathstroke, Joe Manganiello. I always get his name wrong, but Flash Thompson from Spider-Man. That's why I'll always think of him as Flash Thompson from Spider-Man. Let's see that he was teased in the theatrical Justice League. You know what? We dogged pretty hard on Jesse Eisenberg talking about BVS, but that last scene of him in Justice League with him in Deathstroke, I was like, I like that Lex Luthor.
That's the best he's ever been as Lex Luthor.
Right? He looks the part. He's shaved. He's like, he's on a yacht. He's very confident. You know, I'm like playing super villains against each other. Like, let's see more of that. You know, so he teases the Injustice League or a team up of villains, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, hey, Darkseid in live action. Hashtag Smovel did it first, but I'll let you guys go look that up. It's kind of embarrassing. But is that setting up a sequel? Is that an epilogue to this movie? We don't know. And that's exciting right now because we honestly don't know how all these, we've seen all these images, but we don't know how they're all going to come together. And because it's a 4-hour movie, you can't just be like, well, I guess that's probably the climax. Like, who knows? For 4 hours, that's a lot of time to fill. So I'm excited. Martian Manhunter is going to show up in some capacity. That's an interesting twist.
And there's a big, I'm trying to keep away from it, but there's all these spoilers out there about someone else showing up, you know, whether that was the original intention or not, I don't know, but I'm trying to stay away from it, but I think we're going to get someone else in there as well.
Unite the Seven, hashtag, or eight, I guess, if everyone's there. But yeah, man, I'm very excited for this. And it's like this, you know how the internets and fans are going to be, right? It's going to be just chaos after this comes out. But I think in this moment, in this week, this is Snyder Cut week. This is a unifying thing for a very large section of the fandom, even people who are on the fence. Mm-hmm. And there are many of my close friends who I podcast with. You all know who you are. You're like, I don't really know, but I'm going to watch it. And hopefully this can surprise some people and win them over. And at the end of the day, that's an enjoyable adventure with all of our favorite superheroes, right? Because that's what it's all about. So
absolutely. Like I said, if I can enjoy Joss Whedon's Justice League just because I'm happy to have my guys together, then I'm sure as hell going to enjoy 4 hours of my guys together in this one, you know. I can't wait. I really can't wait.
As long as it has the shot of the Flash reacting to Superman seeing him move at super speed, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best. That was my favorite moment of Justice League 2017, because he's like, oh, because that's such a great moment. It's showing Superman's power. Like, the Flash, the one thing he can do, Superman can also do. So that's just so cool. And hey, it's gonna tie the knot with the Flash coming, speaking of the Flash, coming back from the future to BVS to talk to Bruce Wayne for a minute.
Yeah.
We're going to see that, because that was just hanging out there. It's so nonsensical that it had no payoff, and the nightmare sequence from BVS. So I'm really hoping that this brings it all back around and makes all that make sense. And then I can kind of sit down and enjoy, because when I rewatch it, I'm like, why is that here? What a waste of time. It led to nothing, and it's frustration. Yeah. And hopefully this will alleviate that. So
that's it. At the very least, you can sort of compartmentalize those three movies and say, okay, you know, we got a trilogy here, for better or for worse, but we'll enjoy what we can from it, you know?
Absolutely. So, boy, it's going to be fun on the internet, man. Let me tell you.
I'm staying away.
But, you know, and that's the unfortunate thing. Like, I said what I said, but I do think a lot of people, and I think you and I were having a good conversation here. I think this is, you know, this is where we are with it. I know people are all over the place with it, but I feel like so many people have already made up their mind. Like, it's going to be a mess and terrible. I can't wait to see this dumpster fire finally come out. Some people shut up. And then you have people like, this is going to be the best movie of all time. And I'm like, you know, there is a middle ground that we can all exist in, you know, and that's where I want to be. But it is going to be fun. It's an event, and I am very much looking forward to tomorrow.
It's like Christmas Eve.
So, what to expect from us here on the podcast? So me and all the regular suspects are going to do a roundtable discussion on Zack Snyder's Justice League. So that'll be the next episode out sometime over the weekend. And then, you know, in a few weeks, Tom, you and I will reconvene to do part five of this conversation and of these Snyder Cut specials, to kind of like see after the dust settles, right? Some time and distance has happened, and we can kind of see where we are in the aftermath of the Snyder Cut. So, you know, maybe about a month from now or so, but you'll hear Tom and I again talking some more DCEU. But man, it's been so great to have you on for these episodes, to finally give us an excuse to talk about the stuff that we love so much together.
Zach, I love your perspective on this stuff. I think we share a lot of the same things. We can be critical, but I think most of all, it's about the passion, you know? And when we criticize, it's not because we don't want other people to enjoy things or that we're bitter about things. It's just, you know, sometimes we don't like stuff, but for the most part, I love your enthusiasm. I love how excited you get about this stuff. And I'm the same, man. I feed off it as well, you know? So I would love to come back and talk Snyder Cut. Hopefully it's not us going, oh man, that really blew, you know? Well, I'm sure
if there's
it won't
not
be
a part five, you'll know what happened, y'all. But no, either way, love it or hate it, and you know, we're going to come back and talk about it together. So.
Yeah. So, you know, either way, I think we'll enjoy it. And maybe we can even mention, you know, that new cut of Batman versus Superman as well, because that's coming out on 4K in April over here, probably earlier for you in the States. So yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I've just loved talking this stuff with you.
Absolutely. So if people want to find you out there on the internet, Tom, where can they find you?
Probably just at the Twilight Zone podcast, at thetwilightzonepodcast.com these days. That's my main show, and that's what I'm doing.
Alrighty. As for me personally, I'm on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoreonZach. Host of another podcast called Franchise Fatigue over at UFP Earth. You can find us on Twitter at Franchise Fatigue, talking about movies, remakes, reboots, sequels, and when franchises get fatigued. And finally, for the podcast here, we're Always Smallville with one S. Always hold on to Smallville on Facebook, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again, with one S. Well, that's going to do it, Tom. It's Snyder Cut Eve. We're going to get up in the morning and open our present and spend all day watching it. But until then, always hold on to Smallville and all this other stuff. Always Swollen to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Darren Kirsch, Joey Deanberg, J.J. Hodges, D.J. Duena, Jason Skipper, Nathan Rochacher, Mateo Jarrell Santiago, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Joe McIndo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarella, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Ids Foppen, Alex Ramsey, Patrick Bravo, Jason Davis, Christopher Brewer, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Alana Gibbs, Patricia Carrillo, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine McGelly, Keith Falls, Jay Pocket, Cody Thomas, and Lauren D. Thank you so much to all these patrons. You too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.